The lesson, Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 15. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they shall be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. The word of the Lord. Continuing in our study of the Lord's Prayer this evening, we'll consider the petition, Thy Kingdom Come. Let's begin by defining kingdom. Simply put, it is a realm of rule, or even more fundamentally, a king's domain. So when we pray this, which is qualified by the later phrase, on earth as it is in heaven, we are praying that the kingdom that exists in the heavenly realm, a realm untainted by sin and death, will be the shape and nature of the Father's realm on the earth. Even more, we're praying for a unification of the two, even as initially fulfilled in the incarnation, God becoming man, but also that the earth would progressively become more heaven-like, so to speak. We covered some aspects of this back in the Catechism Sunday school class, but as Peter Lighthart notes, the kingdom of God can be defined as the new world order that Christ established in his life, death, resurrection, and ascension, a new order of things that will be fully revealed and established only at Christ's return. You've probably heard of talk of a new world order, often posed as the machinations of some oligarchy with less than noble intentions for mankind. And whether such groups exist can be debated, but they're ultimately doomed to fail because Jesus has already begun a new world order. Amen. Now consider the opening words of the book of Acts, which is the second volume of Dr. Luke's works, the first being, of course, the gospel bearing his name. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God was at the heart of Jesus' instruction to the disciples, not only during his earthly ministry, but also afterwards, so to speak, after his death and resurrection and before his ascension. And when we stop and consider that for a moment, it indicates to us that what Jesus was about, the gospel message he proclaimed, it's more than the salvation of sinners. It certainly knows less than that, but that's hardly the breadth of the gospel message. See, Jesus spends an awful lot of time teaching about the kingdom. As one pastor put it, this petition encapsulates God's entire purpose for the world. Where Sinclair Ferguson writes, "We therefore pray that the kingdom that has already been established will express its presence more and more throughout the earth." We are praying for the full implementation of God's kingship throughout the earth, for his rule to be recognized by all nations. And while we look to the fullness of Christ's visible reign upon the earth at the second coming, we are also well aware of the fact that he reigns now, that his kingdom, his domain, the realm of his rule encompasses and continues to extend to the ends of the earth. And Paul mentions this fact quite often enough in his letters. And yet there are those within the church who think the devil still rules this world and that Jesus' kingship won't be realized at all until his second coming. But a careful reading of the Bible tells us otherwise. Colossians 2:15, Satan has been overthrown. Through the cross, God disarmed the rulers and authorities, and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in Christ. Or Philippians 2:9 through 11, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. See, this is the trajectory of the kingdom of heaven, and it's for this that we continue to pray. Of course, at the end of Matthew, Jesus declares that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him, and the apostles are commissioned to teach all that Jesus has commanded. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Christ, has certain rules. The kingdom is to operate in a particular way. The citizens of the kingdom are to act and live in accordance with his ordinances, which are found in his word. And as the church, as citizens of the kingdom, our lives ought to be distinguishable, our conduct in keeping with Christ's commands, which act as a testimony to his kingdom, even as we live out his kingdom coming on the earth as it is in heaven. So we pray this expectantly, that our Father will answer and further his kingdom to the ends of the earth as he's promised and as he continues to do. And then we also go out and we live it out in our respective vocations and callings and hobbies and enjoyments, using our gifts in the church and in the world. And faith knows that all of life falls under the reign of Christ, that this is our Father's world, which then frees us to live with gratitude and confidence and joy in his kingdom. The kingdom has come, continues to come, and will come in fullness at the last. And so then let us readily pray and live in light of this truth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.